Thank you to everyone who attended the 5th Annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to these businesses for helping to make it possible: ADM, Illinois Beef Association, and Illinois Farm Bureau. More details on agriculture at willag.org.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the 18th day of December 2018, coming to you today from the Crown Plaza in Springfield, Illinois, in the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And then a bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs will join us. He's been presenting on the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. It's more about those as we make our way through the program today, but we'll talk with Todd about the commodity markets and his view of $4 and $9. Those are the two numbers he's telling producers that they need to remember for this and the next marketing year, potentially. We'll wrap up our time together by having a discussion about the weather forecast with Don Day, a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll check in with Dave Chatterton. He'll discuss the agricultural energies and the broader marketplace with us right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up, listen to us online, on demand, anytime you'd like at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We'll hear what the numbers look like as we went into the end of the trade, but not the settlement prices for the day. March corn at 385 was up a penny at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. May futures at 393, a penny and a quarter higher. July at 399 and a half, up 1 1/4. And December at 404 and a quarter, 0.75 cents higher. Soybeans in the January were 2.5 higher as they closed out the day at 907 and a quarter. March at 920 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. And the May futures at 930. 3.5, 2 higher. July, or rather August, soybeans up 2.5 at 949 and a half. And next year's November at 955, about 2 cents higher. The bean oil futures in the January 20 higher at 2837. The bean meal at 310.60, up $1.50. And wheat futures for the soft red down 2 3/4 cents at around 532. Again, these are closing prices and not settlements. The July soft red, that's the harvest month, down 2 3/4 at 545. And the hard red July at 517 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. That's actually the March. The July there at 540 and a quarter, down 3.5 cents. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. Here's what some of the other markets look like in the livestock. Live cattle futures were around 57.5 cents higher going into the close at 119.60. That for the December, February, 122.42.5, about 87.5 cents higher. Feeder cattle up by 85 cents at 146.22.5 in the January. The March at 144.20, 87.5 higher. And lean hogs at 62.57.5, down $1.25. The energy showed crude oil during the day down $2.68 to $2.70 at $47.27 a barrel. The ethanol at about $1.26 3/10, around 0.4 cents lower. Heating oil down something like 5 cents at $1.77 7/10. And gasoline on the RBOB, that's a wholesale price at $1.36 9/10, down 4 1/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 100 points at 23.770. The U.S. dollar about 0.08 lower at 96.4. In the gold futures for the day at $1,248.30, up 90 cents. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Partly cloudy, a low of 30. South winds at 7 to 9. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 49. South winds at 8 to 14. Wednesday evening, a 30% chance of rain after 1. Cloudy, a low of 40. Thursday, a 50% chance of rain. Cloudy, a low of 45. And Thursday, a chance of rain mixing with snow after 11, then gradually ending cloudy during the day, or rather the rest of the evening, a low of 32, a north-northwest wind at 10 to 16, and the chance of rainfall set at 50%. And that'll bring us Friday, cloudy skies, a high of 37, on a north-northwest wind at about 17 miles an hour. Friday night, cloudy and 25, Saturday sunny and 39, and Sunday to start the next week, partly sunny and 39 degrees then as well. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Thank you to everyone who attended the 5th Annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to these businesses for helping to make it possible: the Illinois Corn Growers Association, Syngenta, and TIAA. More details on agriculture at willag.org.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason on the road today in Springfield with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. So you can join us tomorrow. We'll be in Peoria at the hotel and casino. That's the Paradise in East Peoria, actually. And then on Thursday at Ferrandis in DeKalb, and Friday back in Champaign County at the iHotel. We open registration at 7:45. Walk-ins are welcome. $90 is the cost. It's a great program. I watched this for many years, and this one is a stunner, so you should come, and we hope that you will join us then. Now, speaking of joining us, we're joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being on the program again today.
Well, that's my pleasure.
Today in the marketplace, we're post-second MFP round announcement, meaning the president, Sonny Perdue, both said yesterday we're going to pay the full MFP, and that's come into the marketplace. There was some joy, I suppose, on the part of farmers, and soybeans managed to rally just a bit, at least as we're talking during the noon hour today.
Yes, that's very true, Todd. You know, we didn't know if it had a little negative effect, thinking that farmers might be willing to press some sales sooner, knowing that they've got that extra payment in there to help their cash flow. But, you know, we've also got sort of great enthusiasm that they're going to see a little more business out of China, and seeing that we want to go ahead with that possibly. We're very headline conscious of what's going on here today. But the oil, the meal, both up here today, and the beans up a nickel as we talk here at noon.
What are your expectations for the rest of this week then?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to see if there does materialize. There's talk of some further purchases that might be reported on Wednesday and Thursday this week. And if we don't see any of those, why, we might set back a little bit of the beans. But for today, I think it looks like the corn and the beans are going to stay strong, and they might even pull the wheat back up into positive territory.
Okay, so I have what is an important question. It seems that producers have been behind in their soybean sales, waiting for the trade dispute to settle, and or for the second round of the MFP to come, one of the two. Do you think January could be a very difficult month for soybeans, as it usually is a month in, when lots of beans are actually marketed, I believe?
Well, it's probably going to see some hurdles for January like that, unless we can see some much-needed progress with the Chinese and American negotiations, where we could see that 25% tariff removed and maybe add a little bit of hope and as to going into what we're looking at here. But we have seen the basis levels fall quite a bit in South America, so they're staying very much wanting to be in competition with the U.S. if this does happen. So, but I think without seeing some sort of Chinese agreement happen sooner rather than later, why, January could be a partially rough month on the beans.
What does the trade think prospects for this to happen might be?
For that soon, I think that we're going to see some purchases yet here before Christmas to wrap things up a little bit and try to get things going. But we have to see the tariffs, you know, basically come off rather than just be for government reserves for us to get a good feeling. So I think that's probably going to happen later rather than sooner.
Do you suppose those purchases, are you talking about maybe another 600,000 tons so that they come up to 2 million in metric tons and maybe in two allotments of 300,000 so they're kind of under the radar like the last one?
I think that's very, very possible. Or off, you know, where they're maybe made with a foreign broker, or, you know, with ADM Brazil rather than ADM US or something that way. Something that could be sort of hid for a while until they get booked what they'd like to book. You know, they don't like to raise the price on themselves.
What do you suppose the corn market will look like for the rest of the week?
Well, we're getting a little bit of anticipation that along with some bean purchases, but it's maybe deferred into January, that we'll see some corn purchases by China, maybe some ethanol purchases and DDD purchases. And I think that long as we're still going along smoothly without any negative comments, why, we're going to see some support under the market here. Now, if we get up close, get that March corn up over 390, net 395, I think we're going to be running into some resistance.
Hey, thank you so much, Wayne. We appreciate that. Apparently, Wayne, the crowd here in Springfield enjoys what you had to say. That's what you heard there at the end. And we do appreciate you being with us for this time being. I wanted to ask one other final question of you as we get through this process. When you look into the next year, what do you think producers should consider as their new crop corn and soybean sales?
Well, I think that as we get some pops here, we're probably going to want to, you know, at least get to the point of being 10% sold on the corn and the beans and on a little bit of run-up here. I think Dease corn anywhere, you know, on the 405 to 410 mark in the December, and the next November beans in that 560 to 575 bracket.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Well, as you know, I'm traveling with the agricultural economist on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits today in Springfield. Tomorrow, we'll be at the Paradise Casino Hotel there in East Peoria, Illinois. So you can drop by. We'll open our doors at 7:45. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is $90. One of the people, actually the first one up each and every morning on this series, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, and you can hear the whole of his program tomorrow morning, but he's here with us now to talk a little about the price of commodities. They're kind of a single takeaway from your discussion. At the end, you say, if you remember two numbers out of my discussion, they're $4 and $9. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a potential we could see $4 corn sometime this marketing year. And if we do, I think you might ought to think about selling some corn at that point. There's a lot of reasons why I think we could get there, and I know the corn prices have been pretty flat recently. If they don't hit four, I think you'll see them around where they are right now, and a lot of it has to do with acreage. We've got good use, but that's the kind of place where I think you would be happy with that sale as we move through this marketing year into the next. For $9 beans, I know if you're paying attention, you're looking out there right now and you're thinking, I can get $9 beans November 2019 in Central Illinois cash right now. And I'm saying, yes, I think that's a good idea. We've got a lot of problems and uncertainty with trade. We've got a big crop coming from Brazil and what looks like intense competition for the soybean export market in 2019. And I'm not sure we're going to lose the kind of soybean acreage a lot of people think we are next year. So, you know, we get in the March prospective plantings report. If we see a bigger soybean acreage number, along with poor use, along with the kind of crops we're seeing in South America, it's a lot of pressure, downside pressure on beans. I know it's early. It's really early to think about selling new crop. And I'm this way with old crop as well. Look at your prices. If you haven't priced some of your stored beans, I know it's early, but I'd give it a thought.
Yeah, so I have a question on the old crop, because the second round of the MFP, the market facilitation payment, was announced yesterday. It's at the full $1.65 amount for the total. Those checks will be cut and moving through the system fairly quickly. I think from discussions with grain elevators that farmers have been holding off on soybean sales considerably this year. They made a lot up front, but I think they're behind potentially. What does that mean for January? What does that tell you about when producers might consider marketing those beans that are in storage?
Well, I think you'll see them start to come out of storage early in 2019, but you know, with these market facilitation payments, and if you have the opinion that we're going to get out of this trade morass we're in right now, you may think there's the possibility of a run in front of you where you could get a good price. I'm just not convinced we're going to get out of this trade problem anytime soon. And even if we do, the kind of crops we're seeing in South America are going to make competition fierce. So if you get a price on your old crop beans right now out in March or May or somewhere in between that you think I can make that work, I don't think that's a bad idea to make it work for you. But, you know, I'm of the opinion, I've seen nothing to say we're going to have some kind of breakthrough on this trade impasse we're in. It could happen tomorrow. You know, that's the kind of uncertainty we're living in.
What do you use for this marketing year's ending stocks then for soybeans?
I've got it at around 935, but currently USDA is around 955. But I've got a slightly lower yield. I think we're going to lose some bushels out of this crop we've harvested. But the use numbers were pretty close. And actually, to hit that $1.9 billion of exports, we need China to buy more than they've already bought. So, you know, there's a lot of downside pressure if we don't get this thing figured out.
How much more do they have to buy in order to pull that off? Do you know? Have you done the figures yet?
I forecast all these things, and in my opinion, it needs to be about 6 to 7 million more metric tons. Now, I could be high on that. It could be nearer to 5, but I don't think we're going to see. One of the big importers for the first part of this market year so far has been Argentina. They're recovering from a drought. I don't see us continuing that into next year. And there's a couple, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but I'm in that range. It could be a little bit lower. Yep.
You mean in total, 6 to 7,
yeah,
right, in total,
yeah,
counting the 1.5 that,
yeah,
they've already bought.
That's right. Yeah, we're talking 250 to 300 million bushels.
So a lot of bushels of soybeans that need to be purchased between now and the end of the year. What's corn ending stocks look like for you?
You know, I've got corn ending stocks about what USDA has, a little over 1.7 billion bushels. We're seeing good use, even though there's some pressure in the ethanol production margins for those guys right now. They're still producing. We're still using corn to do it. But through the first quarter of this marketing year, we're actually down in corn use for ethanol just a little bit from last year. But on the bright side, in 2019, we've seen gas prices fall a bit. I think exports are still going to be strong. So a little over 5.6 billion bushels of corn, I think it's safe to say. Exports have been good. I don't know if we can continue the kind of strength we saw in 2018 into 2019. I would love it if we did. I'm just not confident that's going to be the case. But I think we'll still see really strong exports. You know, it comes down to feed and residual and other uses. The other uses are pretty stable, 5 to 10 million bushels here or there. But, yeah, we're seeing ending stocks come down from when they hit their highs a couple of years ago. And, you know, depending on how many acres we plant next year, sort of flat moving into the next year, but we'll see.
Yeah. If you hear that in the background, the folks from Domino's are here, and they're having an awards banquet. Somebody's really proud of Domino's there. So
it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Go pizza, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big user of pork products, yeah. So grain and pork and Domino's. One final question for you. 1.7 billion bushels sounds a whole lot better as a carryout than the 2.2, 2.4 that we've been running with. However, the marketplace it doesn't feel like it's lifted off of that to that 1.7 billion bushel area. I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, you know, normally I think you'd see corn prices at least a quarter higher under this kind of scenario. I think what we're seeing is the trade issue and soybean prices and low oil prices are sort of holding corn down a little bit. If you've been paying attention to the markets, they'll go up a couple cents, come back a couple cents. We've been in a pretty tight range for a while. When you look at the futures market nearby, it's January. And right now, I think they're just waiting for a piece of information to maybe run a little bit. I've been talking to people. You know, if you're waiting around for $5 corn, you could be waiting a while. Right? We need some kind of production shortfall for that to happen. So I think we could see 4 if things fall our way. If not, the kind of prices we see right now is probably the range we're going to be in. And, yeah, it's really stuff related to the corn market, soybeans, oil, that's sort of, in my opinion, keeping corn prices much lower than what we would expect them to be at these kind of stocks to use.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're now joined by Dave Chatterton. He's with the Powerline Group out of Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be with you. Happy holidays to everyone listening out there. Hope things are well.
They are, and happy holidays to you as well. Merry Christmas. I'm going to talk about the price of oil just a bit. It's been on a move lower since, OPEC met. Can you tell me about how all of this is related together, if it is, or if maybe there's an outside influence that I've not seen?
Yeah, I mean, very interesting times in the oil complex right now, Todd. I mean, we've got a lot of moving pieces, of course, the latest being the OPEC meeting that we had the week after Thanksgiving. So the group has agreed to make a production cut of 1.2 million barrels, but the market hasn't quite bought into that yet. Those cuts aren't scheduled to start until January of next year. And in the meantime, we've got record crude oil production in the U.S., record crude oil production in Russia, and close to, if not record production, in Saudi Arabia. So we've got a near-term supply glut, I guess, if you will, globally. And if you look at where, let's say, crude oil or diesel fuel prices have been since the, you know, since the top of the market that first week of October, we're down roughly 35% in crude. We're seeing our first values below $50 here since September of last year, and in heating oil, we made a top above 245, and futures were currently just below 180. So we've taken, call that a 27% drop, and the trend is lower here. We've got a lot of angst about the economy, about interest rates, about the U.S.-China negotiations, and a lot of things kind of spinning up here to the end of the year to keep some pressure on the market. So from a production standpoint or producer standpoint, it's probably a very good spot to be looking at extending some coverage, or at least getting some coverage in place for 2019 here.
Since you mentioned we are coming into the end of the year and so much is happening in the outside markets, or the Dow and the S&P 500, is there very much concern at where we are at this point, just a few days from closing out 2018?
I think there's a lot of concern within the oil market that the macro markets, or the global equity markets, are signaling that demand will slow down further in 2019. And we know that earnings are certainly going to be compressed from an equity standpoint. Rates looks like we'll get another hike probably again this week, but hopefully a slower path next week. So it looks like a tougher rowing season next year going forward. And I think the oil market is reflecting the fact that supply is still very high. We have record U.S. crude oil production. We're starting to export more and more, and at the same time, it looks like global demand could slow down here just a bit. So certainly there's an influence and a tie going on back and forth here.
Can you tie that back into the agricultural energies, the ethanol market in some form?
You certainly can. I mean, if you look at ethanol prices outright, we're essentially are back to where we are when we started got started with the RFS and the ethanol boom back in 2005 and 2006. You know, we're at a full blending capacity here in the U.S. as far as E10 goes. Our exports have been somewhat up and down, but look like they'll be okay here. But in order to offtake this additional ethanol and create additional corn demand, we either need higher gasoline demand here in the U.S., which lower prices do help with to some degree, but currently those are being offset by, you know, gains in efficiency and other things. Or we need to open up our export markets, and both of those things look like they're, again, down the road, we can certainly talk about them, but here in the near term, they don't look like they're going to, we're going to give a lot of ground back to the market in that sense.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, and we'll talk with you again in the new year.
Very good, Todd. Thank you.
Dave Chatterton is with the Powerline Group, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling today with the agricultural economist on the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. You can catch up with us this week. Tomorrow, we'll be in East Peoria, Illinois at the Paradise Hotel and Casino, starting at 7:45 a.m. Our doors open. If you've not pre-registered, come on out. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is just $90. The same thing happens again on Thursday morning, except we'll be in DeKalb at Veranda's Banquet Center, and then on Friday at the I Hotel in Champaign, Illinois. So if you have not made your plans for the rest of the week, why don't you join us at one of those three events? I'm telling you today, it certainly is worth the money, and for sure, your banker is going to be there. You probably should be too. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start here in the Midwest. Talk about this week prior to Christmas. What kind of conditions will we be working through?
Well, right now we are enjoying some warmer temperatures and some really nice weather here in the middle of December, relatively speaking. But we will, in the week, with the system moving across out of the southern plains and through the Midwest, that will spread some areas of rain and thunderstorm activity to the southeast, south-central United States, and the northern part of this system will bring some wet weather to the Corn Belt Midwest. Initially, it looks like most of it's going to be in the liquid form, but may turn to snow before it's all over, but we'd expect more rain than snow.
And if you go into the next week, where do we see things after that?
Well, just in time for Christmas, things start to get colder. We're going to start to see some subtle changes at first in the weather forecast across the lower 48 states, beginning this weekend with the intrusion of some colder air out of central and western areas of Canada. Not Arctic air, just a trend towards colder temperatures. But as we get into the middle to the end of Christmas week, leading up to the weekend before New Year's, the weather pattern is going to be more active. While, again, it's not going to be bitterly cold, the opportunity for more rain and snow and colder temperatures than what we've experienced is on the table.
And that first week of January, if you look that far out, do you see any changes?
I do. I think we're going to start off the new year, 2019, on a much colder note. And the change to a colder, let's say a more Arctic-like pattern in terms of tapping into some air from the far northern latitudes, that happens right around or just after the first of the year.
What are the primary weather patterns you're watching in South America for Brazil and or Argentina at this point in time?
Well, over the last couple of weeks, they have trended a little bit drier. This is especially true in Brazil. Argentina, to some extent, has been a little bit drier, but they've had a little bit of moisture. Now, the forecast in the week ahead is a little bit more moist, especially for some of the southern areas of Brazil that have been drier, and some of the northern and central areas of Argentina look to be getting a little bit wet as well. Crop conditions there have been pretty good. Now, it's been a little cooler than normal, especially in Brazil, but overall conditions are still looking favorable.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm traveling this week with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. We'll be in Peoria tomorrow at the Paradise Hotel and Casino. That's there in East Peoria, actually. And you can join us still if you'd like. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is just $90 at the door. Registration opens at 7:45 a.m. We'll wrap up at 12:10 and then feed you a meal at the noon hour there. So a good morning. You can come and visit with us and hear from the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Hope to see you there, or potentially in DeKalb or Champaign. That wraps out our week. And thank you, too, for helping to wrap out this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Thank you to everyone who attended the 5th Annual WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference in Normal. We appreciate your support. A special thank you to these businesses for helping to make it possible: University of Illinois Extension, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Illinois. More details on agriculture at willag.org.